Hello and welcome to the Golden Fusion Podcast, the show that broadcasts the amazing stories of some of the most interesting and inspiring people from around Central Illinois. I'm your host, Paul Garcia, and today I'm speaking with an exceptional young man who is very well known throughout the state of Illinois and even the country for his success in wrestling, and his name is Logan DeCetus. Logan is a two-time IHSA state champion, and he currently holds a winning streak of 113 matches in a row going into his senior year. His sophomore year, he broke the state record for single-season victories with his 59-0 season record, breaking the previous record of 58. And he's on track to break another state record for the longest win streak in the history of the state, currently held by Josh Alber, who won 134 matches in a row. Additionally, he's currently ranked 18th in the country at 182 pounds, according to Flow Wrestling's National High School Rankings. Logan has also recently committed to wrestle at Bucknell University, a private Division I school in Pennsylvania. In this conversation, Logan and I discuss his unique introduction to wrestling, how it feels to have the winning streak that he does along with the two state titles, his mindset going into his matches, his plans for the future, and much, much more. This was really a great episode, and it's made possible by the wonderful support of the Coffee Steamer, Fairbury Furniture, and J. Marie Salon and Day Spa, three incredible Central Illinois businesses that have locations in Fairbury. I invite you to listen for just 90 seconds as I tell you a little bit about these three beloved local businesses that make this show possible. Now, I don't typically use this kind of language, but the Coffee Steamer is the cutest coffee place that I've ever been to. Not only are their drinks top-notch, but their staff is out of this world. The Coffee Steamer's baristas are incredible, and I can't help but smile when I pull up to that window at their trailer in Fairbury. They've got locations in both Forest and Fairbury, Illinois, and if you haven't been there yet this week, what are you even doing? Get your caffeine fix from the Coffee Steamer. They are the best. Now, this magnificent coffee can be enjoyed anywhere, but it's best enjoyed sitting in an equally magnificent recliner, or perhaps at a gorgeous dining table, sitting in a comfortable chair, or even lying in your luxurious and affordable bed. Well, that can be dangerous if you're laying down, but I'm saying you ought to be getting your furniture from Fairbury Furniture. Fairbury Furniture carries tons of beds, tables, mattresses, desks, etc. from all the brands you love. They've got tons of 5-star reviews on every platform because their prices rock, their customer service is unmatched, and their delivery and setup services are just incredible. Everyone loves Fairbury Furniture, and you will too. Once you decide it's time to ditch that old, junky piece of furniture that you've been trying to deal with for years, you need to head to Fairbury Furniture in Fairbury, Illinois. Your home living will forever be improved. And hey, I have one more question for you. Have you been thinking about changing your hairstyle, but you keep reverting back to that old, safe look that you've had for years? My girlfriend recently got a really short haircut, and now whenever we go out, she always gets compliments. Literally, all the time. My point is, it's time to be bold. It's time to go to J. Marie Salon and Day Spa in Fairbury. Here you will find true masters of the cuts. But wait, maybe you don't need a haircut. Well, how about getting some new color or a scalp treatment? Maybe you need a facial. I know I do. Maybe you want some waxing or a manicure or a pedicure or a Swedish or deep tissue massage. They even have those hot stones that they'll put on your back, just like the movies. It's really cool. J. Marie Salon and Day Spa offers everything. The owner, Joanna, and her team are just great and they know what they're doing. Look, you've heard it before. Look good, feel good. It's that simple. Book an appointment with J. Marie Salon and Day Spa in Fairbury on Facebook. There's a link in the show notes below. Alright, there we go. Check these wonderful businesses out. And as always, let them know that the Golden Fusion Podcast sent you. This is a fantastic way to support the show as well as the local economy. Alright, without further ado, here's my conversation with the champ himself, Logan DeCetus. Logan DeCetus, how's it going?
Pretty good, how about you?
I'm doing great, thank you for asking, and thank you very much for coming on to the show, finally.
I know, it took me a second, but yeah. I'm glad, glad to be on here.
So, I don't know if you know, there's a pandemic going on right now, and sports are kind of put on the back burner, especially wrestling, it seems, for some reason. What have you been doing, because I'm sure you haven't been just kicking back and relaxing, what have you been doing to stay in shape, and stay in wrestling shape, I should say,
and just stay ready, because you are still competing in other states right now.
Yeah, COVID's been kind of hard on wrestling, but mainly I've been coming up to the compound, wrestling like almost every other day. I'll come up on my own. I'll wrestle with Brandon and some other pretty good Illinois, like state placers, state qualifiers, and just come in here, get workouts. And
yeah. So we're at the compound right now. For those of you watching, you can see this is like a big training center. And it's not typical to see some place like this in central Illinois, in small town Chenoa, Illinois. This place is awesome. And you look around, I mean, the accolades are listed on the wall. I see lists and lists of state champions, state placers, national champions even, and you're among them. How important has this place been in your wrestling success?
This place has actually been pretty huge. I've been wrestling here for as long as I can remember. Doug started out wrestling here, and like, so I've been wrestling with him forever. And then when Ryan King came down, he took over the compound for a while, and I was wrestling with him for probably like 5-6 years in this very room. Then when he moved back down, Doug took it back over, and I've still just been training here, trying to get all the work in here I can. But yeah, it's a pretty nice place for a small town. Like, there's a weight room, pretty big wrestling room, there's games out there, couches, saunas. It's very nice here.
You got 2 full-size mats, you got a sauna, weight room, like you said, and it also just looks nice. Like, the interior design's pretty good, so
it is.
Well done, Doug and Hostleton family and everything. But yeah, like you said, Ryan King used to be here with King Select Wrestling Academy.
Yep.
He's since gone, and Doug's taken over, like you said. But I remember those days because I was in high school, and I started coming to that King Select practice, and I remember you as a kid just scrapping hard. You had talent, and it was pretty amazing to see a kid of that size and age wrestle like that. I had never seen that before. When did you start wrestling, and how did you get your start?
Most like wrestlers start off wrestling when they're like real young, when they're in diapers, and they can get on the mat whenever their parents can get them out there is when they start. But actually, I moved to Odell when I was like 3rd grade. Then I started playing football with Dwight in like 4th grade. And the football, or actually the wrestling coach, who was also assisting in football, he was like, come out, try practice. It'll get you better footwork for football. And so I was like, all right, I'll go try practice. So basically I just started wrestling because to get better for football.
That's crazy. Typically, when you see kids that have had the success that you've had, they've been wrestling since they were, like you said, in diapers.
Yeah.
You literally started in 4th grade. It wasn't your dream or anything like that. You did it for football. But you've had such extreme success. Why do you think that is?
Oh, I think like the first year or two of wrestling, I kind of just went to a couple practices, maybe like 2 tournaments here or there. But like ever since then, when I decided I want to wrestle, I want to become good at this, and this is what I want to do, I started practicing from day in, day out. I remember I used to have 2-3 practices a day. Some day I would be in here 8 hours straight just trying to get better and just try to catch up with everyone.
This is before you're in high school that you spent 8 hours in here. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Why wrestling? I assume that you switched totally to wrestling eventually, right? And kind of didn't do football?
Yeah, I kind of switched around 7th grade, I want to say. But yeah, I just enjoyed it. It was just fun for me. Most people have fun like going hanging out with friends. Back then, this is what I like to do. This is what I wanted to continue with. And
so it's just, you just so happened to enjoy it so much that you spent all of your time training. That's interesting. Your dad didn't force you into it, huh?
Actually, my dad tried to get me to play hockey, like what he used to do, and I had no part about that.
That's a very interesting thing that I was hoping we'd touch on. Your dad got drafted to play for the Montreal Canadiens, an NHL hockey team.
Yes.
He was a professional-level hockey player.
Yes.
That's insane. Then your grandpa got 2nd in the Olympic trials for wrestling, right?
Yes.
Okay, so your grandpa wrestled. That's your dad's dad?
Mom's dad.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Your mom's dad got 2nd in the Olympic trials. Your dad was a professional-level hockey player.
Yep.
It seems like some athleticism is in your genetics. Is that fair to say, or do you, you know, not like saying that?
Yeah, I would actually agree with that a lot, because just looking at some, like, my grandpa's matches and mine, I kind of have a similar style to he wrestled. Obviously, it's different because the way people wrestled back then is completely different than we like today. Just because like the new moves.
Completely different. A lot faster pace, if I do say so myself.
Yeah.
Like, you watch Dan Gable videos and stuff, and you're like, what is this? Like, he was the best of the time, like a world beater. And compare his videos to today, and you're just like, these are kind of light years apart.
Yeah, just the pace and like, I hate to say it, but like the skill level, like of like the moves, like the complexity of all of them, it's just completely different now. But yeah, I think I got a lot of it from my grandpa and my dad, just from all the athletic ability and all that. It's weird because my sister, she's very book smart, and like she tried to play sports, she wasn't as good, so she kind of stuck to like learning and
the academic side of things. Yeah. So your dad didn't push you into wrestling. He actually tried to kind of pull you away and maybe put you into hockey. Of course, he's going to want you to do the sport that he gave his life to largely.
Like he didn't pull me away. Like he like would always say something like, oh, why don't you come play hockey? I was like, I'm not interested and all that. He's been a pretty good supporter of that, of me like choosing wrestling and just helping me out, like taking me all over the country to wrestle and just be the best I can at what I want to do.
Very supportive dad, it seems like.
Yes.
So walk me through your youth wrestling career a little bit, if you would. You know, were you horrible for years and then eventually you became all right? Or was it, you know, you were kind of blessed with some success at the beginning?
Actually, I feel like I was blessed with some success at the beginning because, like I said, my first first year or two, I didn't really wrestle that much. So I didn't really count those as like wrestling years because I didn't really do anything. But the first year I actually wrestled and like went to state, I ended up getting like fifth at state. But I've never won state until my sophomore year. So I feel like after my freshman year, after I lost, something just clicked. And I feel like that's where a lot of my successes come from.
We're definitely going to talk about that here in a second. But I kind of want to talk about, you said that you were blessed with success at the beginning, and you had some success. You made it to state relatively quickly. Why do you think you had that success? Like, what made you special? What made you excel quicker than others?
I feel like the genetics and just how much I worked when I was little. Like, I wanted to be the best at wrestling, and I would always train and just always work my butt off, like 24/7, and I feel like that's paid off a lot.
Man, that really seems to be the truth, too, because I see you posting pictures on social media of you just being in here. It seems like this is almost your second home.
It is.
You do love to train, it seems like, or at least if you don't love it, you at least spend a lot of your time doing it. Why? Why is that? Most kids don't want to train. It's hard. It sucks. What was your inspiration? What was your reason to work so hard at such a young age?
My dad, obviously, like what we talked about, he was really good at hockey. And when I was growing up, he used to have his like state championship banners in his closet, and I would always see them. And when I would see those banners, I kind of like wanted to like go work almost. And he would always like mess with me, like, oh, you don't have one of these, like just constructive criticism almost. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to have more than you watch, since I'm going to be better than what you were. And so just pushing me and helping me. Then when I started wrestling, it's just been fun for me. Like, I just enjoyed and a little motivation helped.
Wow, man. What a great thing to enjoy. If you can enjoy hard work, you're really going to go places in life. So you had some success when you were a kid. You said you never won a state title, though, in your youth wrestling? Or
no, the best I got was my eighth grade year. I was undefeated until the state finals, and I got pretty nervous and didn't wrestle my match, ended up losing the first match all year.
So eventually, after a pretty good but no state title youth career in wrestling, you enter high school and you wrestle at 132 pounds your freshman year.
Yeah, freshman year I certified 126 and ended up wrestling state series at 132.
Well, you were a talented kid for sure. I remember coming in just that year. I really haven't been into the PC room that much since, but I saw you as a freshman and I saw a wily kid who had more talent than I'd ever had. You had more skill than any freshman I'd seen. And I wrestled with, you know, Drew Hosselton. No offense to Drew, but Drew was a state champ as well. You had moves, man. You were fast. But you were, at the time, underdeveloped. You were 132 pounds and 5'4", you said?
Somewhere around there, 5'3", 5'4".
Small kid.
Small, yeah.
You went 36-9 that year.
Yes.
Before going on to have a couple, you know, really successful sophomore and junior year. But that freshman year, what kind of wrestler were you at that time, and what did you learn in that season?
I personally felt like all through my life I've been told technique is like more important than strength and everything. And since the first practice, I've been told speed kills in wrestling. And so I've been focusing a lot on technique and speed. So I personally don't think I'm the like strongest wrestler out there. And that kind of showed freshman year, coming into from eighth grade to high school, that big jump. I felt way weaker than everyone, and almost I didn't feel like as like I could compete. But then I hit that growth spurt, and
you hit the growth spurt after your freshman
year? After my freshman year, yeah.
What were your goals going into your freshman year? What were your goals going into the state tournament? Were you just down and out about, you know, nine losses? Because you had just come out of eighth grade making it to the state finals, undefeated until the finals, where you ended up getting second. Were your hopes high that freshman year? Like, were you gunning for a state title or at least a state placement?
Yeah, I actually thought I was going to place, like, top four at that state tournament, actually. And then first match came out, I thought I was going to actually win that match. The kid ended up taking second that year, and I thought I was going to win, and he beat me pretty good, and that just dropped my confidence for the rest of the tournament. Came back in the wrestlebacks and just lost, and yeah, that just clicked something, and just like the high expectations and then not like living up to them. That was big for me.
Dang. So what did it feel like after that tournament? What emotions did you feel? You know, this is a bit personal on my part, but so I made it to the state tournament four times. I never placed. Yep. Each time it sucked to leave that tournament because sophomore, junior, and senior year, you know, maybe I was a little delirious, but I was gunning for a state title. I wanted that so bad. It was so elusive. Something about that orange and white bracket that you get when you stand on top of the podium in the assembly hall, now the State Farm Center. There's a big old picture of it right over there. That place just seemed awesome, and I wanted nothing more than a state title. But to lose at that tournament and to fall short of your goals, it was one of the more painful things I had to go through, and that a lot of wrestlers go through in general when they losing at the state tournament sucks. What was it like for you that freshman year, you know, after the state tournament?
Like, right after I lost, honestly, it was, like, kind of heartbreaking. It was, like, almost, like, can I still compete with these kids? Like, I just had that really successful season in eighth grade, and it started, like, just questioning. And it really did hurt. Like, most wrestlers, like you said, don't find the success of getting state titles, and it's something everyone strives for, but, like, yeah, no matter what, like, if you lose in the state tournament, it hurts. And
So what'd you do after? Did you relax, or did you go? Because the season's over. The high school season is over. They no longer really have practices, or at least, you know, official practices anymore. You could just go relax, you know, and go to the pool and hang out with your friends for the rest of the school year. But what did you do?
The day after the tournament, I was actually back in the wrestling room, trying to get better for next year, wanting to go back and wrestle in that tournament, fix my mistakes, and just win a title like everyone strives for. Like, that really clicked something when I didn't win. And the next day, and like almost every day after, I was in here working just to get better in place.
In place. I like that you said place. Just a phenom in the state of Illinois, consistently ranking in the top 20 according to Flow Wrestling's rankings. What the heck happened? What happened your sophomore year that led into your junior year? What clicked? What changed that made you into the phenom wrestler that you now are?
Personally, I feel like it's just the mindset I had after I started winning more and more my sophomore year. So I wrestled 132 in state series freshman year. Then the next year I came back and jumped up a lot of weights to 160. And my dad, he's actually really motivational, like really supportive of me. And he knew I was struggling at that lower weight. And then once I told him I was going all the way up there, he kind of was like, I don't know how good of an idea this is or how this is going to work out. And I was like, watch, I'm going to do something this year. I promise. And then, yeah, I just started winning and winning. And this is kind of like eighth grade where I just keep bullying everyone. Just and so state series comes. I think at that time I was like 50-0, and I beat some of the top ranked kids there. And
did that unbeaten streak just kind of sneak up on you then? Or?
Yeah, I personally wasn't expecting just to keep winning and winning. I was expecting a couple losses here and there. Obviously, there was close matches throughout the year, and I would just pull them out and just win them, and all the wins just kept adding up. It did shock me a little bit. Then state series, I was like, that's when my confidence really like came. I was like, all right, I'm going to win this. I know it. Then I'm just going through the bracket. They have me, I think at the state tournament, they had me ranked second. The past 2 years, actually, they had me ranked second.
Even though you were undefeated in the state of Illinois. Like, yeah. That's interesting. So you said your confidence really came that at the state tournament, which is a heck of a time for your confidence to kick in. And it's kind of pumping me up right now. Walk me through that state tournament then, your sophomore year. Like, how'd that go?
Honestly, like, I feel like my first match that year was the toughest one, because kind of like almost that flashback of last year of like they wrestled a different level here. And then after just wrestling that match, I won that. That was my, I think that I personally think that was my closest match. And then I won, and I was like, okay, I got the jitters out of the way. I think I'm good to go now. Then I wrestled the next kid. I should have pinned him, but the ref called out of bounds, and I ended up beating him by 5. Wrestled in the semis. I don't remember how I did that match. Oh, I wrestled Ruben Cantu.
Oh, Ruben Cantu. He must be in that. Some Cantu guy commented on
Hector
the post.
Cantu, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a really good guy. He's a great coach, and we became pretty close with him after that. Mm-hmm. And then, I ended up, that was probably my best match I wrestled all year, and that's when I was like, all right, I'm going to win this. I know I'm going to win this. And that came out in the state finals. Got a takedown in the first 2 seconds of the match, and then just was confident the rest of the time. Didn't make any stupid mistakes. Just kept my head straight. Just rode. Got takedowns, points when I needed. Yeah, it was a fun tournament.
I love that you said, I know I'm going to win this. You knew you were going to win this.
Yeah.
Your mental strength, or just your poise, whatever you want to call it, is really something that I'm interested in. Why did you know that you were going to win? And did you train your mind? Like, were you talking to yourself before your matches? What made you think that you were going to win it? What made you know that?
I just watched him wrestle, the way he was performing and the way I was performing. I was like, I know how this is going to go. I know what he's going to try. I know how to stop this. I've worked on stuff like this in practice. I just was confident that it was going to go my way.
Something interesting about you that's not that common among wrestlers. I've talked to plenty of wrestlers. You're not jittery. You're not a nervous guy. Even sitting here, everyone I talk to on this podcast is nervous beforehand, but you don't really seem that way. Do you get nervous? Maybe I'm completely wrong. Do you get really nervous and you just don't show it before your matches, or what?
Every now and then, when I know I have like a real good wrestler and I haven't wrestled someone in a while, I'll get real nervous, but I don't show it. I always hide it, because just like growing up.
Interesting.
Like, if, for example, like this summer, this school year when I went out to Maryland a couple weeks ago, I actually got a little nervous because I was wrestling a really good kid. He got second at 2A state above me. I knew he was a real good wrestler. And I wasn't that nervous. I kind of knew I was going to win, but just like, I knew how much I wanted to beat him by and how I wanted the match to go, and I was kind of nervous it wasn't going to go out that way. But then once I stepped on the mat, it kind of went away. And then just watching my next match, the kid was, he was an okay wrestler, but just warming up, I was watching the way he was holding himself. He would just like grab his arm and like kind of in like a nervous fashion almost.
Yeah.
And then just seeing that, it's like, there's no way you're going to beat me. Just like, just the confidence level is just different. Just anytime I do get nervous, I always hide it, always keep it in the back of my head, just try to ignore it. But yeah, most of the time I don't get that nervous and I just have fun.
Yeah, I mean, wow, that heck of a strategy there. Do you normally look at people before your matches, the bigger matches, to kind of assess how nervous they are? Because that's a valuable skill to have, being able to read someone's body language. Mike Tyson used to say he would, look in his opponent's eyes, and the moment they looked down, he knew he had him, and he knew he was going to win. And that sounds exactly like what you're saying. You said you saw this kid grab his arm.
Yeah, like kind of like in a nervous fashion. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
I don't do it all the time. Just like when I'm warming up, if I happen to look over and I see him like staring at me. Like, I also did this in my sophomore year state finals, when we were warming up, I was out there getting ready, listening to my music, preparing for the match and everything. I see the kid just standing there, just like holding his hands together, just standing there. I was like, what's going on? And I was like, I don't know, just the way, I don't know where I get it from, but I feel like just when I look at someone, I can tell like almost how they're feeling, if they're nervous, scared, confident in themselves, or I don't know. I just feel like that's a useful skill when I go out there to get for my matches.
Oh, yeah. Oh, heck yeah. So we've talked about your mindset before the match. What's your mindset like during the match? Are you thinking, is it a chess match, or are you simply reacting? It seems like you're not relaxed, but you're not frazzled. You're not panicking or anything. Walk me through like your wrestling style and how you're thinking when you're wrestling.
Honestly, this might sound weird, but most of the time when I'm wrestling, I'm not thinking that much because I'm more like reacting for my hours of training of how to place my body and all that. It's just different because when I was growing up, I had a time where in like wrestling matches, I would have like a crossed wrist almost, and I would just stop and like think of like, okay, what do I have to do here? That's like that valuable time you need, that's when the openings are to score and everything. Obviously, I'll think about like what's happening, what he's doing, what I have to do, but it's just at like a much faster pace, and yeah, the coaches help out with that a lot. He'll say like what he's like thinking that's just gonna happen, and just yeah, all that together. Just
it's always weird. I've had it in my own matches, and I think maybe this is just a hyperactive brain. I've always wondered that. Maybe it's something wrong with me, but I've had, you know, intense matches, period ends, it's going into the third or whatever, and you're walking back to the center, my mind goes way different places. Like, I'm thinking about different things during the day. I'm envisioning, I don't know, like this guy maybe went. I'm just thinking about anything. I'm thinking way too much. And I wish I could just turn off that thinking muscle in my brain and just react. But it's hard to, you know, just react. It's hard to train yourself to just react and not think. It's weird.
It's very hard. Yeah, I agree. I've just been doing it for so long. It's second nature now. And I'll be thinking about where I am on the mat. Like if I hit like a, say like a double leg, will I be close to the edge? Will I be towards the middle? Like, and just I'll have like that time running in my head of like, most of my coaches call it a internal clock. You just have to think like, all right, I have this much time and I'm going to take this X amount of time to get this many points, and just thinking about scoring, thinking about bettering your position, just instead of like what's happening in the match at the moment, think like 2-3 steps ahead. And I feel like that helps out a lot, just knowing where you're at in the mat, how much time you have to do something. And
well, first of all, what's it like then your sophomore year to finish the season undefeated and to have your hand raised on Saturday night in the State Farm Center to win state in Illinois? What was that like for you the first time?
For me, that was a moment I was like, all right, I'm just as good as these kids. I know I'm better than them now. It was a confidence booster for sure. But what most people say to me is like, when you won that match, you didn't seem that happy.
Like, yeah, I was just going to say that. You didn't throw up the ones or anything. You weren't, woo, you know, some kids just lose it. But yeah, why didn't you celebrate?
I've been told from my dad, coaches, act like you've been there before. Just hold yourself to standard. Like, I've been here. This is no big deal. This is what I'm supposed to be doing.
I think of prominent MMA fighters like Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
And just anyone in combat sports, I feel like visualization and kind of summoning the emotions that you would feel if you did in fact win, like that's a thing that a lot of big name athletes do. Do you visualize before your matches or anything? Or did you visualize you getting your hand raised at the state tournament your sophomore year? Or not really?
No. Before my matches, I'll just focus on like I have to make sure these certain moves are like crisp and good, and I'll think about like certain positions before my match so I don't really have to think about them during the match. Like, I'll watch how they wrestle sometimes and know that they like these certain positions, and I'll think about what I have to do, so I'm just always just ready. And
it doesn't sound like you get too emotionally invested though. Is that fair to say, or do you?
I actually do, but I keep all that in like the practice room, and like, oh, I keep all my emotions in here, because if you let your emotions go out during a tournament, during a match, everything, that's when everything just goes straight downhill. Like, anyone could say this. If they've been to a wrestling tournament, they've seen kids crying, throwing their headgear, just mad at everything, like upset, flustered. And you just lose yourself. You can't wrestle to the best of your ability if you're not in your own head.
Yeah, have some composure, you know, have some self-control. So you didn't celebrate outwardly after that first state title, but how did you, Logan, feel after that?
I was so excited. I was like, this is the first time I've ever won a state title. Just
so totally different than what you showed.
My mind was going 1,000 miles an hour. Just went up to my family, friends, like celebrate, and just I was pretty excited. Just I don't mind like kind of like celebrating like off the mat, like in private, like almost where like you can't see. I'm like, oh, this is a good moment. But yeah, on the mat, I feel like if you like almost celebrate too much, it almost seems like an upset, like you weren't supposed to win.
I say this kind of with a little restraint because I don't want to get excited really about it, but I'll explain why. So your sophomore season and your junior season, you've accumulated 113 wins without a loss. After your freshman season, in the IHSA, you would go on for the next two seasons to win 113 matches in a row. That means two state titles.
And how about Prairie Central's Logan DeCetus? The Hawks grappler won his state title bout at 170 pounds with a narrow 3-2 decision. DeCetus finishes his junior year with a perfect 57-0 record. He's now a two-time state champion.
That's a mean winning streak right there.
It is.
You went on to have an amazing junior year season where you went 59-0. Yes. And in that season, you broke the single season most consecutive wins or most wins in a single season record. Yep. In the state of Illinois. Yes. Congrats to you.
Thank
for
you.
That. That's pretty awesome. And now you're on your way to breaking the record for the most consecutive wins in a career in the state of Illinois held by Josh Alber.
Yes.
I don't know the number on that exactly. 130 something, you said?
Yeah, around there. Rough estimate around there.
And, I mean, there's a good chance you're going to break that if you're at 113 wins right now.
In two seasons, yeah.
Yeah, in two seasons. So, you know, but there's also a chance that we won't have a state series this year in the state of Illinois. It's pretty likely that we'll have a season in late April. At least this is what Joe Cliff is telling me, and he's pretty on the up and up. But what are your thoughts and feelings on that? You know, just the fact that you're very likely, it's definitely possible that you break that career wins record, and consecutive wins record, I should say. But, you know, they might not have a season, you know, so it's kind of out of your control in a way.
I mean, it kind of hurts a little bit, but I know that if I would 100% have a season, I'm confident myself that I'd break that record. I'd have that record. On the other hand, I also have the most wins in a single season that we talked about, but I'm pretty sure the IHSA is changing rules, and I think after team state and everything, the most matches you can have in a season is like 53 or something like that. So I should have that record for a very long time, and so my name's always going to be there for that. And yeah, for not having season, I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. I might just graduate early, go train, get ready for college, and just prepare myself, especially if it's in April. But I don't know. It's just a lot of thinking of what's going on, what I have to do, and
also
what like my college wants me to do. They want me to wrestle season to get those accolades up, more of them, and whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned college. You recently committed to Bucknell for wrestling.
Yep.
And that's a D1 program, and it's in Pennsylvania, pretty darn close to Penn State. I think they wrestle them early in the season most years.
Yes.
What made you choose Bucknell?
Honestly, the education. It's a private school, and it's pretty prestigious, and just what I want to go into. I want to go into biochemistry to become an anesthesiologist. So that level of education's pretty crazy. And what was another big factor is the coaches. I got along with the coaches, the wrestlers, and everyone very well. It's like I've known them my whole life, and I've known them for a year and a half maybe. And yeah, so all the kids in my recruiting class, they're just all, I like them all. One kid, Colby DePron, he's a, I wanted to say, I think he's a two-time Oklahoma State champ, really good wrestler. I think he's going to be my roommate this year. Me and him talk like every day, just like, we almost like get each other. We're so similar and everything. So it's just nice to have someone that like you trust and like get along with and like are very similar to, just with you the whole time. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be nice.
So you mentioned it's private school, great education. Yep. You must take your education pretty seriously then. And I mean, No one goes into the biochem field with plans to be an anesthesiologist that, you know, doesn't give a rip about their grades.
Yeah.
So do you take your grades in school pretty seriously?
I do. I've taken like four AP classes and I have a pretty high GPA and I take that very seriously.
Yeah. And you wouldn't have mentioned that if I wouldn't have asked. You're a pretty humble guy. It seems like you're confident, yes, but you're also humble. You know, you don't just outwardly say all the great things you do and everything. Mm-hmm. So before I dive into why you chose biochem, I'm pretty interested in that. How was the process of picking a college? Like, what was that like for you? Was it stressful? I'm sure there were a decent amount of schools kind of knocking on your door. Yep. I remember reading in the paper, I think Eric Murphy wrote about it in the Pantograph, that, you know, he was kind of asking about any schools that are looking at you right now. And you said you prefer not to say, you don't want to further complicate things. And So what was that process like of choosing Bucknell? And was Bucknell your first choice, or how'd that go?
Actually, Bucknell wasn't my first choice. I was looking at a couple other schools that I was pretty interested in and wanted to go there. But then just talking to Coach Morrill, we call him Bulldog, just talking to him for like days and just like getting to know the program better, I was like, this is the clear choice. This is where I want to go. But it was actually really hard because of COVID, they didn't allow official visits. So like all these colleges were contacting me about like going to see their like campus and going to go to their school for like my college career and go wrestle for them. But I couldn't go out there and see like what I was getting myself into. And So I had to take a lot of that in my own hands. I'd have to go online, like research myself, like look up like almost like reviews on the school, like pictures of the campus and like everything going on. And then I saw Bucknell is in a like a smaller town, almost like kind of like what I've been used to, like Fairbury, Shenoah areas, just like smaller town vibes. And
but it's got to be nicer than most like small towns around here, because it's a university. You know, most university small towns are pretty nice, I'd say.
Yeah, I've been out there like since I've committed, and it's a beautiful campus. It's pretty great.
So why are you choosing to go into the biochem field then? What interests you about that? Specifically, you said you want to be an anesthesiologist. And now, statistically speaking, most college kids do change their majors, but some of them don't. I think it's less likely in any medical field, really.
Yep.
But, why do you want to go into biochem?
Just sitting down one day and just talking to like my mom about like what I want to do when I grow up. For a while, I wanted to like do computer programming, and then I've taken classes at like school about it, and I didn't like it. Like, it was just not what I wanted to do. I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I did. Then just talking to my mom, I was like, all right, I kind of want to try this, see how this will go. Then my sister is going into, she's a biology, biochem, chem major, something like that, similar to what I'm doing. And she's taking that to be a pathologist.
I don't even know what that word means, to be honest with you, but your sister's going into it. She's going to be that.
Yeah. It's like a pretty big in the medical field. Then my cousin is, he actually went to school for biochem. He became an anesthesiologist, but he didn't like the anesthesiologist aspect. So he switched to, I think he's a radiologist now. Mm-hmm. And so like a lot of my family's going in that major. So if I ever need help, I also have friends that go to like Iowa State that are in the similar major, going to the same thing as me. So if I ever need help, there's people there to help me. It just spikes my interest.
That's really cool. That's a good paying field to go into too.
Yeah, it is.
Well, so we're talking about college now. I just kind of want to know in general, what are your plans? What are you setting out to do? What goals do you have? If you feel comfortable saying what those might be, both in academics and in wrestling.
For wrestling, like anyone, I I want to win an NCAA title. I want to go undefeated. I want to be one of those big names in college and make my mark there. Academic-wise, I want to have pretty high standards. I kind of want to be top of my class, make sure I know everything that's going on. It's like, especially since I'm basically taking someone's life in my hands when they're going like under anesthesia, and just make sure everything's like good to go and all set for life.
You want to be a good, darn good anesthesiologist. Wow. I really am impressed by how seriously you take your academics. I really am. That's pretty awesome. You want to do big things, and I think you really do it right. Like, I'm very impressed by how hard you work, how often you work, how seriously you take your academics, and then how seriously you take wrestling. It's really awesome, man. So we're kind of getting towards the end of this episode. Is there any last thoughts you might have, or anything you'd like to say to before we wrap this thing up?
Basically, if you set your mind to something and like really work hard for it, you can do anything you want. And like, I wouldn't be able to do any of this like without like my parents helping me, or like my coaches pushing me to be the best I am. Even my teachers just like helping me throughout school. Just everyone that's been here to push me through my life and get me better. It's awesome. I appreciate it.
Man, heck of a guy, Logan. You impressed me very much, and I think you're going to impress a lot of the kids that listen to this and a lot of the adults that listen to it.
Thank you.
Last little thing here. You know, you're a really strong guy. I've read that in the paper. Some people say your looks are deceiving. Your own coaches have said your looks are deceiving, and that you have insane hand strength and grip strength and everything like that.
Yep.
Well, I think I can have some good grip strength. So now that we're going to wrap this thing up, why don't you put it there and we'll see what you got. That's legit. Dang good, man. Logan Acetus, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And all great things must come to an end. If you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share it on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or any social media platform. And if you'd like to support the podcast, you can head over to thegoldinfusionpodcast.com and donate as little as $1 if you'd like. If you're a small business who wants to have your business advertised in this podcast, again, just head over to thegoldinfusionpodcast.com and drop us a line in the ad spot section at the bottom of the homepage. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Gold Infusion Podcast. God bless and have a great week.